Today's Shir, Sanhedrin Daf Chof Ches. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shiur, we studied a Mishnah on Daf Chof Zayin Amud Beis that listed all of the relatives that are unacceptable to serve as witnesses and judges for one another. In the opening Gemara, we saw a geometric form introduced, a diamond with a double underline. This was explained on the side of the previous Omid as being Makoros, sources, Lepsule Korva. And as we go on in the Sukkah, we also notice a bowtie form which opens up our Gemara on the top of Chof Ches Omid Aleph, which indicates what we have already found as by way of sources for the different relatives. And we continue in our Gemara pursuing the attempt to discover the sources for the different relatives. So our Gemara picks up from the top of Chof Ches Amar Aleph. Ashkechon, we have found Avos Lebonim Ubonim LeAvos, that Avos, as we explained in the previous shiur, is a reference to uncles unable to testify for the children of their brothers, and nephews likewise unable to testify for their father's brothers. The kol shekein avos lahadadi, and this means, and certainly brothers for one another cannot testify. Bonim lebonim minolon, from where do we know that which it says in the Mishnah, ben achi aviv pasulo? We would refer to this as first cousins. Bonim lebonim, children of this brother cannot testify for the children of the other brother, namely first cousins, Minolan. From where do we see that? And here you see the appearance of the double underline and diamond. As you scan down the page, you will see more examples of these markings. The Gemara answers, Im Kain, Lichtoiv Kro, Lo Yumsu Ovois Alben. If the Halacha was not going to include first cousins, then the pasuk could have said that uncles won't be judged or testified for by their nephews. My bonim, why does the pasuk use the term bonim in the plural? The afilu bonim lahadadi. This comes to include even sons of one brother for sons of another brother. In other words, first cousins are not allowed to testify for one another. Ashkechon bonim lahadadi, bonim le'alma minolon. From where do we know that two relatives, in other words, if we put two first cousins together as a set of witnesses, that they cannot serve as a set of witnesses to testify about other people? In order to answer this, notice we have a geometric form, and on the outside margin we have a tatnose. This is a subcategory, subtopic, and a mivneh, and a structural note. We have the house form with a colored in top. Shnei hezberim minayin sheshnei krovim sulim lahoid biyachad la'alma. From where do we know that two relatives cannot join together to serve as witnesses for matters concerning others? So the Gemara opens up, starts here with the first approach. Omar Romi bar Chama svorahu. The issue is a matter of logic. Kedisanya, as the following Tanaic source indicates, and as you know in our marking system, Tanaic sources appear in frames. Ein ho edim nasin zomimim ad shiazumu shnehem. This topic of edim zomimim has been mentioned in the past. It's a reference to the revelation of witnesses that are lying based on the appearance of two subsequent witnesses saying about the two original ones, how could you testify regarding this matter when you were with us at that time in another place? So we say, this source says that the phenomenon of pasaling, of rendering unfit Aiden based on this procedure called zamama, applies only if both of them are discovered as such. If one were to think that two relatives could serve as witnesses for others, then nimsa, what would end up happening, eid zoymeim neherag bi'edus achiv. If, as we just learned, the rule is that a set of witnesses cannot be established as zomimim unless both are found to be zomimim, that would mean that each one witness is affected by what happens to the other. And in effect then, if imagine you had two cousins testifying about a murder, and then these two cousins were discovered to be eidim zomimim, and the rule of eidim zomimim is what the witnesses want to do to others happens to them. But since they're not determined to be zomimim unless each one is found to be such, so that means the edus of one, the testimony of one, actually affects the other. And at the end of the day, one cousin is being killed by virtue of the fact that the other cousin was in this with him. And that would in effect be relatives' testimony serving to condemn his fellow relative. And we know relatives cannot testify for one another. At this point in the Gemara, Rava attacks this logic, and we've indicated a long marking on the in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We wrote in Rava, circled his name, with a vertical dash line, indicating that all of these lines are Rava's approach to this matter. Amalei Rava. Rava turns to Rami Bar Chama and says, "Ulitameich, according to your logic, ha disnan, we have the following source. This is a Mishnah that deals with matters discussed in Maseches Bava Basra. The general topic is one of edus or chazoka concerning edus concerning a chazoka of Gimel Shanim. If a person is on a piece of land for 3 years and he claimed he bought it from someone and no longer has possession of the shtar, if he can bring witnesses that he was there for 3 years, generally speaking, three consecutive years, and was using it as an owner, you know, normally uses his land, that will certify his ownership of it." The source opens up by telling us that if we have three separate sets of witnesses concerning each one of those years, they join up to establish the current occupier's chazoka, we'll say certification of ownership through use. The three separate sets of witnesses might in fact be made up of a total of three brothers, but regarding each year, only one brother testified, plus someone from the general public. So if you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi as examples of brothers, Reuven and David, who is the man from the outside, testified regarding year one. Shimon and David testified regarding year two. And Levi and David testified concerning this man's occupation of the land during year three. The source opens up, Disnan, Shloisha Achim, Ve'echod Mitzarif Imoim, three brothers and one gentleman from the outside, joins up with the brothers, as we just explained in our example. Hare Edu Gimel Edios, they serve as three separate testimonies. Vehein Edus Achas Lahazoma, which means that in order to establish a problem of Hazoma, in other words, if these guys were lying about this fellow's occupation of the land, they will not be established as Edim Zoymimim unless all three sets are huzam, are shown to have been in a different place at the time they were claiming they saw their testimony. Nimsa, according to this rule, Nimsa eid zomeim mishalem mamon be'edus ochiv. If the way Rami Bar Chama was approaching the issue of how do we know that two relatives cannot testify to the outside, because at the end of the day, you could have a situation that one brother actually, one relative condemns the other through the linking up of their edus as edim zanimim, then in this case, if you have three sets of witnesses that were in effect lying, and we discover them as lying through edim zanimim, they will have to pay the original owner of the land because they were attempting to make him lose ownership of the land through their false testimony, enabling someone else to get the possession of the land. But it would come out, according to Rami Bar Chama's logic, that one brother's testimony or one relative's testimony is in effect causing the other relative to participate in the payment. And we know that relatives cannot cause, cannot testify regarding their fellow relative. And yet this halacha is true, that these three sets of witnesses that are comprised of three brothers, as we illustrated before, will be obligated to pay. So how do you explain that? How do you explain this obligation to pay? Elo hazoma me'alma ka'asi. The fact that the witnesses are shown to be hazoma is not a direct result of the testimony of one of the witnesses concerning the other witness. What happens is that some outside set of witnesses come along and testify that these witnesses could not have said what they did. Therefore, that's what the Gemara calls hazoma me'alma. It comes from the outside, and it's not a function, it's not a direct function of the testimony of one relative regarding the other. Hachinami hazoma me'alma ka'asi. Therefore, regarding the issue of our topic, namely two relatives serving as a singular set of, as a set of witnesses, the fact that if they're shown to be zomimim is not a result of one testifying about the other. Hence, this cannot be the grounds for rendering them puzzle, for rendering two relatives to serve together as witnesses as being unfit. Ella. So we see the second house marking. This will be the second source or attempt to show that relatives cannot serve as witnesses together. Im kein, lichtoiv kro uven al ovois. Inami, Haim al avois. The pasuk, if it wasn't coming to include this case, then it could have stated it like this, like either uben al avos or haim al avos. My ubonim. This tells us the fact that this expression appears in the pasuk, afilu bonim la alma. Even two relatives cannot serve as witnesses for the toward the outside. Before we go any further in the Gemara, it's important, though maybe we should have mentioned it at the opening of the Sukkiah, we're making constant reference to a pasuk that we saw in the previous shiur, but for those who were not participants in the previous shiur, it's noted on the previous Omid Chav Zayin Omid Beis, the pasuk in Dvorim Chav Dalet, pasuk Tes Zayin, Lo Yumasu Ovois Al Bonim, Ubonim Lo Yumsu Al Ovois, Ish Bechet'o Yumasu. Let us continue in the Gemara. Ashkechon kroivei ha'av. Until now, we have been dealing with relatives that are through one's father. In other words, we spoke about avos lehadodi, which meant two brothers, and then we spoke about their sons, in other words, the first cousins. They were first cousins because they were related through their fathers. Kroivei ha'em menolon. From where do we know that those who are relative through their mothers are also unfit to testify? Omar kra, avois tre zimni. The pasuk makes a reference to avos twice. Im eino inyan lekrovei ha'av. If it's not necessary to have the second mention of avos for relatives through father, teneu inyan lekrovei ha'im. This is one of the tools of Torah Shebal Peh. One does not make these kind of draw these conclusions on his own. There's an oral tradition that allows the Rabbonim to say these kind of things, to say that if a particular word is not shedding light on one topic, then use it for another topic. But this is not a matter of happenstance. It's a function of an oral tradition. Ashkechon v'chova. So up till now, we've found the the psul edus, when it comes to things of a negative nature, their unworthiness to testify, when it comes to when it concerns condemnatory issues, lizchus minolon. What about for positive, for gain, that they also cannot serve as witnesses? Omakro yumasu yumasu tre zimni. The word yumsu appears twice in the pasuk that we referred to before, the Dvarim Chavdalit pasuk tezayin. Once again, you see the same type of logic here. If the extra yumsu is not necessary for the negative, for the condemnatory, teneo inyan lizchus. So let us ascribe it to that which is of a positive nature as well. That type of testimony that would serve for gain. They're also unworthy. Ashkon bedine nefoshos. Up till now, since the pasuk spoke about yumsu, means death, this deals with capital cases. Bedine momenos menolan. From where do we know that relatives cannot serve as witnesses with regard to financial issues? Omar Kro, there's another pasuk that says, Mishpot echod ye lochem, Mishpot hashove lochem, that one rule of justice shall apply to you, one rule applying, and the drosha is Mishpat HaShoveh Lochem, one constant rule applying to all cases. Hence, if we say that relatives are not acceptable as witnesses in capital cases, the same will be true in non-capital cases. With the marvelous marking system, one can look back, just scan the Gemara, and see the different topics that were proven. So if one were to even glance at the previous Omid, one would see hu leben ochiv, hu leav oviv, that those kind of relatives are not allowed. And the Gemara said mino hanimili, and the Gemara then at the top said that since the previous discussion on Chav Zayim Beis was dealing with nephews for uncles, the Gemara at the top here dealt with first cousins. And then after that, it dealt with a separate issue, namely relatives serving as witnesses for outside cases. And as you skim further, we said we need to find sources for Krovei Ha'em, and for relatives from mothers, through mothers. And then we went on to say, how do we know that witnesses that are relatives cannot testify for one another concerning positive matters? And then we asked about, how do you know regarding Dinei Momenus? All of this by scanning the page above and noting the series of double underlines. We continue now in the Gemara with a focus on Rav. Hence, we've circled Rav's name, and also we'll glance at the topic heading in the outside margin. Nosei, Shitas Rav Bipsule Kurva. We will introduce Rav's opinion with regard to what level of relatives are not allowed to testify for one another or serve as a unit of witnesses for Edus Le'am or to testify regarding outside cases as well. The term that we will find in the more Shlishi Barishon Osir. The term Shlishi Barishon is a reference to generations, that a third generation cannot testify for a first generation. In order to appreciate this equation, it will be of great benefit for us to glance at the chart that we've provided on the inside margin. You'll notice a series of numbers appearing in two columns, 1, 2, and 3. Each one represents a generation. We've also indicated the word Av in parentheses twice. In the middle, you find the word Achim. In other words, these are two brothers. These two brothers happen to be fathers of their respective descendants. So that you have the first generation are what we call Av. In effect, they are brothers. This is the same topic that we opened up with at the top of today's shiur, the top of the page. We know that they cannot testify regarding one another. As you go down, we see the number twos. Those represents to each one would be what we term first cousins. We've also indicated the word ani. We circled ani just to focus on on the speaker, so to speak, that when we get into Rav's din in the Gemara, Rav's law in the Gemara, we'll make reference to this person. We'll call him the speaker. Ani, that means me. The Ani has a first cousin on the right-hand side called Bino. If you move down the column, we notice they have their sons. They represent a third generation. The note that we had indicated on our introduction that Shlishi Barishon cannot testify, that would mean, for example, if you look at number 3 in the left-hand column, he cannot testify regarding number 1, according to Rav. Using our terminology, we would say that a great-nephew cannot testify regarding his great-uncle. In other words, his father's uncle is Mr. 1 in the right-hand column. So when you look at 3 regarding 1, it's a great-nephew cannot testify regarding a great-uncle. What will the halacha be concerning 3 from the left-hand column testify regarding 2 in the right-hand column? That might be termed as a first cousin once removed. In other words, 3 from the left-hand column has a father. When father looks at 2 in the right-hand column, those are first cousins. 3 from the left-hand column is a first cousin one generation removed. When you look at 3 to 3, we would call them second cousins. Our sugya will be preoccupied with these relationships, and there will be an additional major issue discussed, and that is, how do we classify sons-in-law? On our chart, we've included them as well. So if you look at the right-hand column, you see generation 1, he has not only a son, he has a son-in-law as well. Number 2 has a son, who's called number 3, and he too has a son-in-law, as far as our chart is concerned. The issue the Gemara will deal with is how do we classify sons-in-law as well by way of numbers, even though they may appear in their respective next to a respective number. That is not necessarily going to be the final picture, and certainly not part of the picture as we enter the discussion. Opening the Gemara, we now turn to Rav. Omar Rav, Achi Abo, my father's brother, Lo Yoidli, father's brother, namely my uncle, cannot testify for me, who, Uvenoi V'chasono, not him, nor his son, in other words, not my first cousin, nor my uncle's son-in-law. They cannot testify for me. And there's a reflexive property here, that afani lo oid loi, so too I cannot testify for him, for my father's uncle, ani ubini v'chasani, myself I am not acceptable, and my son and son-in-law are also not acceptable. We've dashed underlined the word uvni, because when we look at this situation, if we go back to our chart, and we are focused on the left-hand column, Bini here would be number 3. And Rav is telling us that number 3 cannot testify for the speaker. Who was the speaker? Number 2. That number 3 cannot testify for the speaker's uncle. In effect, what we have is 3 cannot testify for 1. The Gemara asks, V'amai, why is this so? Why is it that 3 is considered unfit? Havile Shlishi Berishon. That's a relationship of third generation to first generation. Ve'anan, but as far as we're concerned, when we look at the Mishnah, we don't find that level of disparity or distance between relatives. What do we see? Ve'anan Sheni B'Sheni Tanan. A 2 to a 2. That means first cousins we've seen. Sheni B'Rishon Tanan. We've seen nephews with regard to uncles. However, Shlishi Barishan Lo Tanan, but in our Mishnah does not include that distance, third generation to first generation. the question that we posed to Rav. In order to deal with this, the Gemara now embarks on a rather rigorous discussion. We will try to navigate with our markings. We see triangles appearing. In our comment on the outside margin, we have a mivneh, structural note. We also have the term ma'akav. Ma'akav is the attempt to keep track, follow the play-by-play, the give and take. We will see triangles with points facing upwards and those with points facing downwards. The point facing upwards is an answer. The point facing downwards will represent a question. We've also indicated in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara triangles with one Roman numerals 1 through 3. These represent basic answers to the question we just posed on Rav. At various intervals in the Gemara will say, we now have an answer to the original question. Those are, as we just mentioned, answer 1, 2, and 3 as the Gemara unfolds. Let us now start with the first answer. Mai chasonoi dekotoni b'masnisen. The term chasono, son-in-law, appears in the Mishnah. And, or in the Mishnah, you'll see the word v'chasonehem. What does chasono, or son-in-law, in the Mishnah mean? Chasan benoi. It really means the son-in-law of his son. If that be the case, so we see that the Mishnah itself takes into account a third generation. The Gemara asks, Velisni ben beno, why doesn't the Mishnah teach, instead of third generation by way of Chasan beno, teach ben beno, a grandson? Why do you teach grandson-in-law? The Gemara answers, Milso agav urche komashmalan, a matter that is taught by the way. In other words, even though I'm teaching you one major principle, I'm teaching you a second principle along the way. And what is that? Debal ki ishto, that the husband has the same position as one's wife. In other words, a son-in-law is considered in the same position as the daughter. And in other words, the granddaughter's husband would be viewed just as if he were a grandson. Baal ki ishto, that the husband is considered like the wife. The Rashi across from here says, "Mai chasono dekotoni masnisen." What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah has a list of examples: Achi Aviv, Uveno, v'chasono. Means that one's father's brother, his son, and his son-in-law. Hai chasono de masnisen. That relative in the Mishnah is abnokoi, is really a reference to the son-in-law of his son. Dehave shlishi. Hai choson. This choson, in effect, is a third generation. Rashi points out something of significance, but we would rather not confuse our numbering system and our equations, so we'll leave off the rest of the Rashi for later. Suffice it to say that by introducing this answer, by saying that the Mishnah is talking about Chasan Beno, we've really introduced a third generation. The Gemara now asks, V'elaha detani Rebchia. Rebchia authored a Braisa. The Braisa parallels the Mishnayos and oftentimes is more explicit or more elaborate. Rav Chia has a teaching that is designed to parallel in a certain way our Mishnah, and he says, Shmoina avos shehein esrim v'arba'ah. There are eight early generations that when all told, you'll come out to 24 examples. These Shmoina Avos, that the eight original generations that add up to 24 examples, is a reference to Av, Beneim, V'chasoneim. Now, but if you say that our Mishnah, when it says Chasan Beno, that chasaneim of the Mishnah really means chasan beno, then you're really adding another example, another level. Hani talasin v'tartin havi. You'll come out with 32 because you've included now chasan beno, means the son-in-law of one son, or alternatively we can say ben beno, one's grandson. So we have in our Mishnah examples of fathers, their sons-in-law, and their grandsons. Taking a look at Rashi, Rashi talks about here Shmoina Avos, Dibur Masu Shmoina Avos, Im Beneim V'chasaneim, the eight fathers, and then you include their sons and their sons. Lahavu Chavdal, that comes out to 24 examples of people. Afagav de Benasisin Tisha Tanan, even though our Mishnah has 9 primary examples. Bar Mechargo, besides wife's son, She'ain Ben V'chasan Imo, when it comes to wife's son, he does not include or draw along with him his own son nor son-in-law. The common parakhul, the Gemara will deal with that issue later on. But in the Mishnah, you have at least 8 examples of fathers, and those, by the way, are numbered off in our Mishnah on Chav Zayin Omid Beis. And when you see those numbers, we know to include them, their sons and their sons-in-law. But now you're telling us that, according to the answer we gave to the Fen Rav, to include a third generation, we're also talking about grandsons. So as far as Rabbi Chiya's accounting is concerned, you don't come out to 24, you would come out to 32. And he doesn't say that. Elo le'olam, we are now at answer number 2, dealing with Rav. How does he account for a third generation, 3-1, as being invalid, when our Mishnah doesn't seem to say that? Elo le'olam chasonoi mamish. The Mishnah's example of chasono is not coming to include son-in-law of son, but rather one's own son-in-law. Hence, we will stick to the 24 examples of unacceptable relatives and testimony. V'amai kori lei chasan benoi. Why does our Mishnah, why did we explain that chasano above, when we gave the initial answer that chasano of the Mishnah is chasan beno, when in effect it's not? Kevon de me'al mokasi, since he comes from the outside, in other words, he is a relative through marriage, he came from another family, kedor acher domi, he is viewed as an additional generation. So that when you, let us look at our chart. When you look at our chart, the right-hand side, you see a 1, 2, and 3, and 1 has a chasano, there's a diagonal line dropping down to the right. That's the chasano of the Mishnah. And our Mishnah does not deal with chasan beno. In other words, what's on the chart doesn't appear in the Mishnah. So if that be the case, why was it answered above in defending Rav that chasano of the Mishnah is in effect a third generation? The Gemara answers that right now by saying the reason we said he was considered chasan beno, even though he is not, it's because he's coming from the outside, and hence he is classified as a third generation as far as the Mishnah is concerned. The Gemara asks, Ihochi, if this is how we're interpreting the Mishnah, that one's son-in-law is considered a third generation, havile shlishi b'sheni, then as far as the way we're presenting the Mishnah, it comes out that a second generation on one side cannot testify about that which is considered a third generation on the other side. V'Rav Achsher Shlishi V'Sheni, but Rav himself allows a third generation testify on behalf of a second generation. In other words, Rav himself would allow a first cousin once removed. Rashi points this out, where we have an asterisk in the second wide line under the Gemara. Rashi says, "V'Rav Achsher Shlishi B'Sheni Dekoma." Rav himself said, "Af Ani Lo Oid Lo Ani Uveni." In Rav's presentation, he said that the speaker cannot testify regarding one's father's brother, nor can one testify, speaker's son, the third generation, cannot testify against his grandfather's brother. Aval b'ni livno yo'id. But my son could testify, for my father's brother's son, which would mean a three could testify for a two, as far as Rav is concerned. But the way we're setting up our Mishnah is that a three cannot testify for a two. Ella. We go now to a third answer and say as follows. A chosan is not considered an additional generation. And our Mishnah does not prohibit a 3 to a 1. Rav, who does prohibit a 3 to a 1, is based on Rebbe Elazar, another Tana. So he has another Tanaic source to base his opinion on. Desanya, Rebbe Elazar, Omer. Kishem she'achi abo lo yo'id li hu uvenoi v'chasano. Just like my uncle cannot testify for me, which would be a 1 to a 2. Nor Beno, namely my first cousin, cannot testify for me. That's a 2 to a 2. Nor his son-in-law. Kach ben achi abo. We've indicated with a dashed underline the word ben to draw our attention to this personality. We're talking about one's uncle's son. So too, my first cousin cannot testify. Lo yoid li hu. That's a 2 to a 2, first cousins to one another. Ubeno, nor my first cousin's son, which would be a third generation. Ubeno v'chasano, that third generation cannot testify for me either. That's a 3 to a 2. The Gemara asks, but even so, if you're going to try to parallel Rav to Rebbe Elazar, there's still a discrepancy. V'akati havi le shlishi v'sheni. V'rav achshir shlishi v'sheni. Rebbe Elazar prohibits a 3 to a 2, and yet Rav himself allows a 3 to a 2. He said that only a 3 to a 1, that's the limit of distance that we prohibit. The Gemara answers. Notice we have a triangle pointing upwards, another indication of a response. Rav sovar lo kavose b'chado polog ole b'chado. Rav agrees with Rebbe Elazar insofar as adding a third generation. But he disagrees with him insofar as where Rebbe Elazar prohibited a 3 to a 2, Rav himself allows that. My taimo de Rav. What is the basis of Rav? What is the source for Rav? Diomakro lo yumsu avois al bonim ubonim lerabois dor acher. The vov of the second word ubonim comes to add an additional generation. That based on the simple reading of the psukim, or the way the Gemara presented the psukim, we notice that we got to 2 to a 2, but Rav sees value in the Vav adding a third generation as well. So that's the Rabbi's Dor Acher, Rebbe Elazar, Albonim Omar Rachmona, which Rebbe Elazar, who said that not only is a 3 to a 1 prohibited, but even, just like the three cannot testify to one, the psul is cast upon one's son, number one's son, as well. That's the term, al bonim, in the pasuk, says psule davos, that which was unacceptable with regard to one, the father, the earlier generation, shadi abonim, place it on an additional generation. Hence we got to not only is 3 to 1 prohibited, but 3 to 1's son also is prohibited, hence 3 to 2 is prohibited. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to encounter Rav Nachman, who presents relatives that cannot testify to one another, and we will then notice the Gemara pointing out that Rav Nachman's din is borne out by the Mishnah itself. After that, Rav Ashi will present a question that he raised regarding relationships, and the answer to Rav Ashi as well will be provided on the bottom line. In order to appreciate the next few lines of Gemara, it will be necessary to take full advantage of the charts that we have provided on the inside margin. So before we go into the Gemara itself, just let us notice the location of the charts. We featured on the inside margin a chart entitled Rav Nachman, and you can find that by noticing the double asterisk. The letters that we find alongside the charts correspond to letters and numbers that we find in the Gemara. Rav Nachman will describe three relatives. For the purpose of simplicity, we'll focus on only on one of Rav Nachman's examples. We'll be focusing on the Gimel example. After Rav Nachman will say his halacha, then the Gemara will say Rav Nachman's halacha is borne out by the Mishnah, and in the Mishnah there will be presented three examples quoted from the Mishnah, and we'll focus on example number three. Hence the numbers that you see on the charts. Let us begin. Amar Rav Nachman, Achi Chamoisi. My mother-in-law's brother, Lo Yoyid Li, he cannot testify for me. Ben Achi Chamoisi, Lo Yoyid Li. My mother-in-law's brother's son, likewise, cannot testify for me. Ben Achois Chamoisi, Lo Yoyid Li. My mother-in-law's sister's son, likewise, cannot testify for me. So, if we look at the chart, we look at chart Gimel. We notice a situation of a chosan, a son-in-law, to the left-hand side of the chart, of that first chart. You notice chosan who is circled. We will start by focusing on him. He cannot testify. And you'll notice there's a diagonal line coming from underneath Chassan, linking up to the right-hand side of the chart with Ben. This fellow, the Chassan who's circled, we start with him. He is saying to us that my mother-in-law's sister's son cannot testify. So do we see his mother-in-law? Yes, we do. We see above Bas. Chosan is married to Bas. Above Bas is Ima. She's Isha number one. Isha number two is her sister. So that Achos is the speaker's son-in-law's mother-in-law's sister. She has a son. And as we said, my mother-in-law's sister's son cannot testify. The Gemara now says that this halacha is actually mentioned in the Mishnah. The only difference is that the Mishnah has a different starting point, but you will notice when we study the chart that it's exactly the same relationship. V'tana tuna. Our Mishnah teaches the same thing. Number one, Baal Achoisai. One's sister's husband cannot testify. Ubaal Achos Aviv. One's father's sister's husband. Ubaal Achos Imoi. One's mother's sister's husband. They cannot testify. Hein uvneim v'chasonehem. These people and their sons and their sons-in-law cannot testify. Our job now is to focus on chasonehem of these people and look at example number three of this quote from the Mishnah. And by doing that, we will see how this parallels Rav Nachman, and we will be aided by looking at our chart. Chart that is indicated by number three. The issue here is my mother's sister's son-in-law. We will soon show you that mother's sister's son-in-law is the same thing as mother-in-law's sister's son. How do we do that? Well, let's look at the chart. Let us start with the left-hand side of the chart. There's Ben. He is saying that my mother's sister's son-in-law cannot testify. So we have a Ben, and he's saying that his mother's sister, that means you go up, you see his mother, you go to your right, you see her sister, Achos, and you see her son-in-law, that's the fellow circled, Chosan. Compare this chart to the chart just above it. Well, notice you have two sisters, Isha 1 and Isha 2. We've indicated that with little 1 and 2 encircled with the word Isha in parentheses. So it's the same, you have a same situation, same setup of two sisters. You see the one sister has a son, and the other sister has a son-in-law. This is characteristic of both charts. Hence, they are, in effect, the same. The only difference was, what's your starting point? In Rav Nachman, the starting point was looking at the chosan, and by entitling the chart, or by saying that that's my mother-in-law's sister's son. And the Mishnah's example is starting with the son, as we did, and saying my mother's sister's son-in-law. Continuing in the Gemara. Omar Rav Ashi, ki havinon be'ula ibayolon. When I was studying by Ula, the question came up. Achi chomiv mahu. Ben achi chomiv mahu. Ben achois chomiv mahu. Let's go over these relatives. My father-in-law's brother, that was achi chomiv. My father-in-law's brother's son. Or my father-in-law's sister's son. What is the din? Omar lon. Ula answered us, Tenisua, we can discover the answer from our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, Ochiv, Achi Oviv, V'achi Imo, Hein Uvneim V'chasonehem. Once again, we've dashed under on Chasonehem. What we will do is we'll do the same thing we did before. Looking at our charts, we look at Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi's question involved my father-in-law's sister's son. Can we find someone who's speaking? So we find Chosan. We see that he's married to a Bas. The Bas has a father. Above Bas, you see father-in-law. Father, in effect, he's Chosan's father-in-law, and we've indicated that Chomiv in parentheses. He cannot testify for the Ben who is encircled to the right-hand side of the chart. You see also Ben encircled. What is Chosan to Ben? So as we said, that's in Hebrew we say Ben Achos Chomiv. That's the son of his, of the speaker's father-in-law's sister. Because above Ben you see Achos, that's the sister of Abba. What does the Mishnah present? Let's go to chart with the three at the last of the charts. This is Achi Imo Chasonehem. Who is described here? My mother's brother's son-in-law. So let us start with Ben on the right-hand side of the chart. We find his mother, that's above him. She has to his left Ach. That's my mother's brothers. Now that fellow, that Ach, has a son-in-law. Notice how these two charts are exactly the same. The only difference being the starting point. But as far as the halacha is concerned, one's father-in-law's sister's son is the same as being prohibited to testify for one another is the same as my mother's brother's son-in-law. Or my mother's... Right, that's the same as the case of my father-in-law's sister's son. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Iklo Lemizvan Gvili. Rav was on his way to purchase parchment. Gvilim is material that one writes Sifrei Torah on. Parchment. Bo'u minei. They asked of Rav, Ma'u shiyoid odom be'eshes chorgo. Can a person testify for his wife's daughter-in-law? This is a person who married a woman that happened to have a son from a previous marriage. That son married a woman. Hence, we call this testimony for one's wife's daughter-in-law. One can see this on a chart that we've provided on the inside margin. You see a woman that has a son under her as a ben. This woman is married to a Baal, but the ben does not come from him. And the ben has an ishto. Can the Baal testify for Ishto? Basura Amri, we have two versions of answering this question. Of what did Rav say? What did he answer? Basura Amri, Baal ki Ishto. That a husband is considered like the wife. If that be the case, in our on our chart, the Baal who is circled occupies the same position, so to speak, as his wife. So he would be viewed as the daughter-in-law's father-in-law. But Pondiso, Amri, Isha Kabaila. Rashi points out that these are the same answers. One just uses as a starting point the husband, and the other one uses as a starting point the wife. But they are, in effect, considered one in the same halachically, and therefore the gentleman in the question presented to Rav is considered the woman's father-in-law and not allowed to testify. The Omar Rav Huna Omar Rav Minayin Shu Isha Kabaila. From where do we know that a woman is considered halachically with the same ranking as her husband? Dichtiv Ervas Achi Avicha Loisigale. This pasuk deals with immoral relations, forbidden relatives, and it says that one shall not reveal the erva of Achi Aviv, his father's brother, El Ishtoi Lo Sikrav. One should not have relations with one's father's brother's wife. Dodoscha hi. Now, the term Doda in the Torah, in the Parsha of Arayas, means specifically one's father's sister. In modern Hebrew, the term Doda has more expansive meaning, but in the Torah, the word Doda means father's sister. Something is a little bit inconsistent in this pasuk. The pasuk concludes by saying that the woman is one's father's sister, but that's not what was described in the opening of the pasuk. V'halo eshes Dodo hi. The opening of the pasuk described the wife of one's father's brother. Wife of father's brother is not the same as father's sister. Follow Ashes Dodohi. And nevertheless, by the fact that the terms are used interchangeably, Michlal de Isha Kabaila, it must be that the wife of father's brother would have the same status as her husband, namely brother. And as far as forbidden relations are concerned, the wife of father's brother would have the same status as if she were like father's sister. Hence, we see that a wife of a man has the same halachic ranking as her husband. The Mishnah presented other examples as we go on in the Gemara. Ubal imoi hu uvnoi v'chasonoi. Baal Imo, one's mother's husband, cannot testify for him. He, Ubeno, one's mother's husband's son, also cannot testify. The Gemara asks, Beno, the son of mother's brother, of the son of mother's husband, Hainu Achiv. That's in effect his brother. With our markings, we've emphasized the expression Hainu Achiv. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us take advantage of the topic heading we have. Korvo Shel Achi Ho'ach. We're going to see relations, new relations, called Achi Ho'ach, brother of brother, Avi Choson, La'avi Kala. That's also a relationship that the Gemara will present, which often is referred to as two mechutanim, father of groom and father of bride, testifying for one another. We'll see another topic, odom la'arusaso, a person testifying on behalf of his future wife. In other words, this is a situation where he was mekadesh her, he offered her money in anticipation of marriage, agreed upon marriage, hareat mekudeshesli. However, they didn't consummate the marriage through nisuin yet. So can a person testify regarding his arusa? The mivneh, the structural note here, we have this double underline, hainu achiv, kushios al kfilus b'mishnah. Questions regarding what seem to be repetition in the Mishnah, debeno shel baal imo hainu achiv. The assumption being that the son of one's mother's husband, in effect, is his own brother. So the Gemara answers, what is referred to by the extra expression? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, lo nitzucho, elo l'achi ho'ach. That achi ho'ach would be a problem. What is achi ho'ach? Let us glance at the chart that we've provided on the inside margin. One sees featured a few couples at the top. If you're starting on the right-hand side of the chart, you see an Isha with her husband. They produced a son. This man had another wife, and they produced a son. He's in the middle. And that woman, on a previous occasion, had another husband, and she produced a son. The achi o'ach are the two circled bends. Can they testify for one another? In effect, they are not related to one another at all, but they do have a common brother. Continuing in our Gemara, Rav Chisda achshir b'achi ho'ach, whereas Rav Yirmiya learned the Mishnah as prohibiting achi ho'ach from testifying for one another, Rav Chisda allows it. Amrulei, they turned to Rav Chisda and said, Lo shmiel lo chad Rav Yirmiya, did you not hear Rav Yirmiya's take on it? In other words, prohibiting. Amrulei, lo shmiel li, I don't hear it. Klomar lo svir li, namely, I don't hold from it. Okay, so Rav Chisda doesn't have any problem allowing achi o'ach to testify for one another. The Gemara then comes out. If he's allowed, then what is the, how do you account for the repetition in the Mishnah, where on the one hand the Mishnah says that the beno of Baal Imo cannot testify, and the Mishnah also says achiv cannot testify. So we go back to the original question. There seems to be repetition. The Gemara answers, as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, Tana achiv min ha'av, v'katani achiv min ha'em. The Mishnah makes reference to two kinds of brothers. Brothers through common father, and brothers that have a common mother. Hence, no repetition. Amar Rav Chisda, Avi choson v'avi kala ma'idim ze al ze. Father of groom and father of bride, often referred to as two mechutonim, they can testify for one another. V'lo domu lahadodi eloki achlo ledona. They are not really relatives. They are not to be compared to one another, other than using a figurative analogy, like the cover of. The relationship of a cover of a barrel to the barrel, where you have a situation where the cover just sits on the top and it doesn't really attach to it. A cover that simply attaches to it. It's noted on the inside margin, kisui hechovios she'ein bohem dibuk elo hanocha bilvad. Covers of barrels that don't stick to one another, they simply are resting one on the other. An analogy to describe how they're not really connected to one another. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter another geometric form, and this is explained on the outside margin. This crown form, Deois Be'inyan Im Odom Mei La Rusas. So different opinions regarding testifying for one's Arusa. Amar Rabba Baruchana Meid Odom Li Ishtoi Arusa. Amar Ravina Lo amaron elo lafuki mina. One can testify regarding his future wife. The term arusa is often translated as betrothed. The betrothed is a first stage in marriage. It's not exact. It's not comparable to situations that we call in English engaged, but it's a first stage in the marriage process. So the Ravino qualifies Rabbo Barachana's halacha that he is allowed to testify for her. That's provided the testimony reduces her holdings. It serves to remove property from her. Aval yuli lo. However, testimony that would enable her to benefit, to profit, lo mehemon, he would not be allowed. He would not be believed. Veloihi. This is now a second approach, and this is a long rejection. Namely, a rejection of the approach that Rabba Bar Chana and Ravina represented. The Gemara rejects this. Lo shno lafuki, lo shno eluyuli, lo mehemon. It doesn't matter whether it's a matter of removing from her or adding to her holdings. He, the husband-to-be, is not believed. My daitoch. What was your consideration in thinking that he's not related to her and hence allowing him to testify? You were thinking that the halacha of testimony is based on the following teaching. We've used quotation marks for the next line and a half to show the length of Ula's teaching. Ishtoi arusa. When it comes to one's arusa, lo oinein velo metamelo. Onein is a situation between death of a close relative and their burial. So there are a series of halachas that apply to one who is in a state of aninus. Nevertheless, when one's arusa dies, we say that he is not onein. He doesn't experience that status. Velo mitamala. If he were a kohen, he cannot participate in her funeral in the sense of being under the same overhanging cover or touching the body or carrying the casket. V'chein hi lo oinenes velo mitamalo. So too, she is not obligated to be in these situations. Mesa, if she dies, eino yorsha, the husband-to-be, if she dies, does not inherit her in this state when they were merely arus and arusa. Mace, who, in the event he dies, gave exubasa. In the event that he prepared exuba at this early stage, she will be able to collect her exuba. From this halacha, one might get the impression that they're not really related to one another, and hence that might have governed Rabbo and Ravino's thinking that they could testify. Nevertheless, not so. Hossam, regarding dinim, rules of tuma, of ritual impurity and yerusha and inheritance, b'she'eroi tola rachmona, akati lav she'erohi. Those are governed by psukim, by verses in the Torah, where the term she'ero appears, where the Torah says one is allowed to be metamet to she'ero, and one inherits she'ero. The word she'ero means a full-fledged wife, whereby they lived together as husband and wife did, and orus, arusa, have not reached that stage yet. But that classification is limited to tuma and yerusha. Hacha. However, here in the realm of testimony, mishum ikuvei daitahu, the issue of testimony has to do with one's ability to remain impartial and see things in an objective fashion. And if two people are considered too close to one another, as relatives are, or as people who are in love with each other, ohev, sone, whereby people are considered hating one another, but it's a function of what's called kirvodas, then testimony, when you have too much kruvedas, is not allowed. V'ho yukruva daite l'gaba. And here, he has this too close a sense of camaraderieship with her, and hence he cannot testify for her. Chorgoi levadoi. Chorgo was the issue of one's wife's son. He alone, the Mishnah says, cannot testify for his mother's husband, but his son would be allowed. The topic heading on the outside margin, we have a nosei and a mivneh. We also have a structural note. The house form that you see represents shnei braisois, two Tanaic sources, b'inyan chorgoi v'gisoi. The giso is the husband of one's wife's sister, sometimes referred to as brother-in-law, but in this case we'll be specific, one's wife's sister's husband. So these two brises will discuss chorgo and giso, im heim levad psulim, oi gam pinehim v'chasanehim. Are they alone puzzle, or are their sons and sons-in-law included as well, as we saw with many of the other relatives mentioned in the Mishnah? So let us continue in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, the first source. Chorgoi levadoi, Rabbi Yossi Omer gisoi. V'tanyu idach, a second source says, giso levado. Levado means without including sons and sons-in-law. Rabbi Yossi Omer chorgoi. Mai Ka'amar. We've also featured, as you can see very clearly, the names Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda in diamonds. The Gemara wants to know, what are these sources talking about? Mai Ka'amar. In order to figure out what is going on, we've presented a triangle marking. These are three nisyonos, three attempts, lahasbir ma shenema b'braisos. As you go down the Gemara, you'll notice a series of triangles. At each point, the Gemara will try to resolve what are they talking about. So the Gemara says, my Ka'amar, what is this? I lema hochi Ka'amar. Maybe this is the kavona, this is the intent. Chorgoi levadoi. That Rabbi Yehuda would be saying, Chorgo alone, Vu hadin v'giso, and likewise, giso is the same. V'asa Rabbi Yossi l'meimar, giso levadoi, Vu hadin l'chorgo. And Rabbi Yossi would be saying that giso is by himself, and the same is to be said about chorgo. There's a Rashi that's found underneath the Gemara by the number 2 that's positioned in the Rashi. These numbers are an outgrowth of the fact that a number of these Rashis are out of order. And in order to navigate with the Rashi commentary, we've added these numbers to help navigation. The Rashi at that point where the number 2 is positioned says, Umar mochado umar mochado velo pligi. In effect, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are saying the same thing, that Chorgoi and Giso are themselves forbidden, but not their sons nor sons-in-law. If that be the case, Elo Masnisin Dekotoni, before we go further, we see a double underline. This is explained as well, Dechiois Lehesberim. These are rejections of whatever explanation was offered just before. So, if we're going to accept this explanation of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, Elo Masnisa Dekotoni Gisoi Hu Uvno V'Chasono, that when you deal with a wife's sister's husband, one says that he and his son and son-in-law are forbidden. Money. The author of the Mishnah would be whom? Lo Rabbi Yehuda V'Lo Rabbi Yossi. Would have no author for our Mishnah. V'Elo Hachi Komar. So we have to go back to these sources and explain as follows. Chorgoi levadoi avo gisoi hu uvno v'chasano. That would be like our Mishnah. V'asa Rabbi Yossi l'meimar, gisoi levadoi avo chorgoi hu uvno v'chasano. If this be the case, so then we would have a parallel or a source for understanding our Mishnah. In other words, our Mishnah would go like this particular approach, chorgoi levado. And that would be Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi has another opinion. The Gemara asks, V'ela ha detani Reb Chiya. What are we now going to do with Reb Chiya's braisa? Reb Chiya said, Shmoina avos shehen esrim v'arba'a. He, according to Reb Chiya, there are only 8 chief relatives and their sons and sons-in-law, accounting for 24. Keman, lo k'Rabbi Yossi, v'lo k'Rabbi Yehuda. It won't work out like either Rabbi Yossi nor Rabbi Yehuda. You'll notice a Rashi in number 3. Ela ha detani Reb Chiya v'chulei, lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Yossi, de Rabbi Yehuda teisha avos havik masnisin bar mechargo. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there are 9 fathers besides the chargo, v'chein Rabbi Yossi tisha havin, and likewise with Rabbi Yossi. And in fact, when looking at our marked Mishnah on Chav Zayin Beis, you will see they are numbered to 9. But with that, we can't account for Rabbi Chiya. Ela hachi ka'amar. So let us proceed and understand the brises as follows. Chorgoi levadoi avol gisoi hu uvno v'chasono. That will be Rabbi Yehuda, and that is the way our Mishnah appeared. V'asa Rabbi Yossi l'meimar, giso levado, that giso is alone in being prohibited, but not his son nor son-in-law. V'kol shekein chargo, and certainly chargo is alone. Umas nisin equals Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah works out like Rabbi Yehuda, that said ben and chosan are included with giso. Baraisa, Rabbi Chia with his eight avos, is Rabbi Yossi. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. The halacha will follow Rabbi Yossi, and this is said in the name of Shmuel, and that means that when you're dealing with giso and chargo, it's them alone that are also not their sons nor sons-in-law. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, let us glance at our topic heading and structural note. Nosei, hemshech, a continuation, and the mivneh, the structure. So notice a volcano shape here. This is designed to be a ma'akav, a play-by-play, keep track. Nisyonos shel Rav Yosef lahachshir shtar shechosmu olav shnei gisim. This will be an attempt of Rav Yosef to allow, as being considered kosher, a document that's signed by two brothers-in-law. And then we will see the dechiyos of Abaye, the rejections of Abaye, as the sugya unfolds. So we continue now. Hahi matanta, there was a shtar matana, a document indicating property given as a gift to so-and-so. Tavichasimole tre gisi. There were two brothers-in-law that signed it. Savar of Yosef lachshura, the Yom Rav Yudom Shmuel, halachik Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef's approach was to say that this kind of document is acceptable because Shmuel, and Rav Yosef was basing himself on Shmuel, that said that halach is like Rav Yosef. Now the Havamina is like Rav Yosef in the Mishnah. Now if one looks at the Mishnah, one will discover that Rav Yosef himself said that only those people who are fit to inherit from one another are not allowed to testify on behalf of one another. Brothers-in-law do not inherit from one another, hence they could testify together. Amar le Abaye. Abaye responded, questioned what Rav Yosef just said, as you can see from the flipped over volcano form. Mimai de Rav Yosef de Masnisen de Mafshir Begiso. Who is to say that Shmuel is basing himself on Rav Yosef of the Mishnah that allows Gis, that allows brothers-in-law to testify? Based on the Eino Roy Liorsho factor, Dilma Rabbi Yosi de Braisa de possibly Giso. Maybe Shmuel Paskins like Rabbi Yosi of the Braisa, where he said Giso Levado, but a Gis himself, even though his son or son-in-law is not included in the prohibition, but sons, but brothers-in-law cannot testify together. Lo Sakadaita, Rabbi Yosef responds, that couldn't be. The Omar Shmuel, here Shmuel himself is explaining the psul of as follows. Kegoin ano upinchas. Brothers-in-law that would not be allowed would be like myself and Pinchas de Havinon achi vegisi. We happen to be brothers and brothers-in-law. It's a situation where two brothers married two sisters. We could not testify, says Shmuel. Avo gisi di alma, but standard brothers-in-law that themselves are not brothers, Shapir Dami, would be allowed. Abaye rejects. Vidilma kagon ano Pinchas. Maybe when Shmuel said, like myself and Pinchas, is mishum vigisi komar, because of their brother-in-law status. That's why they cannot testify. Amale, so Rav Yosef says to the receiver of the shtar, the receiver of the document, zil kanye be'edi mesira kerbalozer. You had better find witnesses that saw this document handed over to you by the giver, and witnesses who see the handing over of the document suffice to substantiate the event. So that even though this shtar is lacking by way of the witnesses that signed it, because they happen to be gisin, nevertheless, if you have witnesses that saw the handing over of it, they're called Eidei Mesira, based on Rabbi Elozer, that too is acceptable. Question. V'omar Rabbi Abba moide Rabbi Elozer b'mezuyof mitocho shu puzzle. But we know, says Abaye, that Rabbi Elozer himself, who allows witnesses who saw the handing over to serve as the witnesses, will not allow if the shtar has an inherent lacking. That's called mezuyav, a built-in forgery. In this case, an inherent lacking. Inherent meaning that in the document itself, you have two unacceptable witnesses. In other words, better to have nothing, no signers, than two problematic signers. So that even if you could produce Eidei Mesira, this matana will still be invalid. Omale, Rav Yosef sees that he's at wit's end. He says, Zil, go, lo shavkili de ois vinei loch. They're not allowing me to see to it that you receive this matana, that you receive this gift. Rav Yuda Omer, afilu meso bito, v'yeshlo bona mimeno, hare ze korov. Rav Yuda said that in the event that one had been related, but they became distanced from one another, they still cannot testify. Amar of Tanchum, Amar of Tavla, Amar of Bruna, Amar Rav, Halacha Kerbi Huda. Rava Amar of Nachmon, Ein Halacha Kerbi Huda. V'chein Amar Rava Barachano, Amar of Yochanan, Ein Halacha Kerbi Huda. The markings that we see here, we see this bow tie form and a Roman numeral number 1. This is explained in the outside margin, machlokis in lifsuk kributa binyan korov in israchik. We'll see a machlokis whether we should paskin like rebuta with regard to relatives that have become unrelated. The bow tie form are shnei lishonis shel psikos shel Rabbi Yochanan, two versions regarding the halachic ruling of Rabbi Yochanan. Iko demasni law laha de Rabba Babarchana aha. There's another version of what Rabba Babarchana was quoting Rabbi Yochanan concerning the following source: Ezu Dorash Rabbi Yosi Aglili Ubosa el Koyanim Alvim Val Shofet Ashiya Biyami Mahim, and you shall come unto the Koyanim Levim and the judge that will be in those days. The Torah is addressing all generations. This pasuk seems to be odd in the sense that would one have thought otherwise, that one would go to a judge that's not alive during his days? So what does it mean that El Hashofet Asher Yia Bayomi Mohim? El Azeh Shehoya Koroiv Vinisrachik. This is a reference to someone that was once related but is no longer related. Amar Rabba Barbachanan Rabbi Yochanan Halacha K'Rabbi Yosi Haglili, that Korov V'Nisrachik is kosher. The first version of Rabbi Yochanan said, in effect, the same thing, that we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was not allowing Korov V'Nisrachik, and we're saying that we do allow, and that's what you see in the second version as well. With that, we complete our shiur for today.